Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. On this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how you as a store builder can help improve conversion rates for your online store. When the conversion rates for an e-commerce store start dropping, it's all too easy to blame the store builder. Likewise, it's all too easy for store builders to say conversion rates aren't their problem if the tech is working. Even if part of the store isn't broken in the traditional sense, you may be able to find things about the store that just aren't working and make helpful suggestions for ways to improve its operation. Just because you aren't the problem doesn't mean you can't be part of the solution. On this episode, you'll hear why you should care about dropping conversion rates, where store builders can help merchants improve conversions, and the first things you need to do as a store builder to get involved. If you could use some help improving the conversion rates of your store, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma.
Chris, welcome back. Great to see you again.
Good to see you, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. We are talking about conversion rates, specifically dropping conversion rates today. So and helping our merchants with that. If conversion rates are low, let's start here. Is it even a store builder's job to fix that problem?
So it's yes and no, right? Like imagine if the domain for an e-commerce store expires, right? If the domain expires and all of a sudden no traffic can come to your website, whose fault is it? Of course, you're going to say, well, where did the emails go that told you your domain was up for renewal and who owns the domain and who has to pay for it? It's likely all the merchant. And so it's the merchant's issue. It's not the developer's issue. But in almost every case, when that email comes up that says it's up for renewal, normally what happens is the merchant gets it and forwards it to the developer, right? I can't tell you the number of times I've gotten an email that says, hey, do I have to do anything about this, right? So even though it's not specifically the store builder's issue, it's one of those things that you're like, while it may not be directly your fault or your issue or your domain, it is incredibly helpful to be someone who steps in and says, I don't really care whose issue this is. This isn't about ownership of the issue. This is more a function of let's go make this work, right? And yeah. So that's where you want to get into it. And I'll tell you, sometimes the way through it, right, the way to resolve the issues requires a store builder, right? A developer who has to be able to go in and do stuff. There's no way the merchant's going to solve it on their own, right? So that's why it makes sense to get involved.
Okay. Do you think that this is a problem that the store builder or the store merchant will catch sooner?
It depends on what the issue is.
Okay.
Right? It totally depends on what the issue is. Sometimes you see that merchants catch it just because their volumes are going down, right? And so when they start looking at their revenue, their volumes are going down, they're like, hey, something's wrong with my website. You're like, oh, what's wrong? You're like, I don't know, right? The merchant's like, I don't know what's wrong. I'm just telling you. My traffic is lower or my volume order volume is lower. Something is wrong. Other times, the developer may catch it because they're getting a notification about something else, right? And they're seeing, huh, why would that domain have changed? Or why would this Google Analytics account register some issue, right? Like, you know, developers are tied to other parts of the systems that they may have in place and then realize, oh, we have a problem, right?
Right.
So I have a buddy of mine who runs an agency that works on e-commerce stores, and they got pulled in because the website got attacked or hacked, and there were ads on the website that were taking people off the website. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those simple scenarios where you saw the traffic come in. So they were the merchant was paying Facebook ads, Google ads, like social ads. So they were buying traffic to come in, and the traffic was coming in. So that hadn't dropped at all, right? Like if you're looking at your metrics, your paid social is not dropping. It's, people are still coming in, except the conversion rate dropped. People were not converting as much. And you go, what's going on? Well, you have a pop-up on your website that is taking people to another website with an irresistible offer, right? 75%, 80% off on blah, blah, blah. And it's targeted to the thing that people are landing on that page. And so people were just going, oh, well, there's a better place. Okay, let me go. And they left, right? So the developer had to get involved to go, okay, I see what's happened. You've been hacked. We have to clean this up. Now that's extreme, but it does happen, right? And you, the rest of your systems wouldn't show up, right? The same way. On the flip side, I had we have another friend of mine who is a merchant in this case, and he had two different developers involved on the website, right? For ostensibly two different things, right? One person's building website stuff. The other person was integrating with Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to the merchant, there were two different Facebook IDs on the social ads, the links, the whatever, right? And so one of them was not attached to the merchant's own account, right? And so it's just, and it's unclear, right? Were the, did two developers just put in their own, you know, put their own work of Facebook pixels in? Or did someone fat finger pixel? Or was one of the guys just like, I'll make money off this website as a developer? Like, it's not clear what happened, but because of the conflict, Facebook's like, I'm just not sending you any traffic, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know which one to send. And so all of a sudden they're like, overall volume is down, but also traffic is down, right? And so you dig in and go, huh, okay, right? And as a web guy for the team, I don't interact with either of those two people, right? Like those two people are doing something and I just go, okay, your Facebook pixels are totally messed up. Oh, we brought in these guys. Okay, let's go clean that up, right? So, conversion isn't just a function of on-page design elements, right? Which is where most people go right off the bat. And there's nothing wrong with saying, let's make sure that your CTAs, your call to action buttons are clear, right? Let's make sure that the text is clear. Let's make sure that the design is right. I worked with another merchant who hired a graphic designer to, spruce up the website.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, right? What they had done was all the outbound click to tweets that used to just be text, right? They had a nice little bar on the side, big text, and a link that said click to tweet. They all got changed into what looked like, photos with nicer text, whatever. They didn't look like click to tweets anymore. They look like ads in the middle of the page. So what do you imagine happened? People stopped clicking to tweet, right? Because they just thought they were scrolling through an ad. And as a function of that, less traffic comes in, which drives conversion down because you got less opportunities or less at-bats. These are all little things, right? That you just go, oh my goodness, right? Like I didn't realize that making something prettier was going to make it look so much like an ad that no one would click on.
Right. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes too pretty is just as a problem as something that isn't pretty at all.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So let's look at some things that store builders can do to help merchants improve conversions.
Okay. So one of the things a store builder can do right away is take a look at the checkout process, right? It's not that, let's say that you're a store builder and you built someone's website, you built their cart, you got it all done. That doesn't mean that no one has messed with it since you last left it, right? Like as a store builder, you go in, you build it, you leave, and you think, well, they may change content, but they're not going to change the checkout process. But you realize, oh, I added this thing and then I added this other thing. And all of a sudden your checkout process goes from 2 steps to 6 steps. Or 4 steps, or it just adds a bunch of random things to click on that you don't, and all of it drops your conversion. And so recently with one merchant, I went in, right? I was working with their team that does a bunch of the technical work. And they said, is there any way to make the conversion and speed up the checkout process at all? I'm like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. So we changed the checkout process to a one page single. Let's just do it all right here. Cleaned it up, changed the layout, and we saw a lift, right? But what we discovered in the process was, oh yeah, people had gone and added this little thing into the cart area and this other thing in the cart area. And then in the checkout, they'd added this and this. And so there's more things to look at and less, you know, and less clarity on what do you want me to do? I want you to click this button and just this button, right?
Yeah.
So a store builder can definitely get involved in optimizing the checkout flow. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's fast. Limit, you know, how much you're doing. That's definitely something they can do. But they can also do other things, right? Like, have you looked in multiple browsers, right? I am one of those guys who always looks in the same browser all the time. I just use Chrome. I look at Chrome. It looks fine in Chrome. And shockingly, this was probably about a year ago, a buddy of mine whose website I didn't work on sent me something and said, hey, can you look at this on Safari, Macintosh Safari, and tell me if you have a problem putting credit card information into the form? And I'm like, what? That's stupid. Okay, I click the link. Lo and behold, all the fields are super, super, like they're the height is like 2 pixels. You can't click into any of the areas to pay. And you're like, oh yeah, you have a browser compatibility problem, right? And that's something for a developer to look at. So store builders can look at that. Store builders can also look at, and we know this is happening, smartphones, mobile, right? What does the store look like? And I don't just mean the checkout. I mean, even the add to cart buttons, right? Like what's the whole flow look like? We had a customer of ours who said, I think I have a problem in my store, right? And this is while we work at a hosting company. So we didn't build the store. We don't know anything about the store. We go to look at it on the desktop. It looks great. You go to look at it in mobile. The add to cart button is slid so far off the screen that all you see is one little line of orange because the button was orange. Like somehow it just got pushed off and all you see is it and you're like, yeah, nobody can click on your add to cart buttons. That's a problem, right? Yeah, so yeah. Make sure as a store builder, make sure that it looks fine on mobile, right? That's just, it's just good to do, right?
Sure.
So, you know, those are all pieces that you can do. Sometimes as a store builder, you're not involved in the graphic design of the website, right? Like, you know, you built the infrastructure, you built the bones, someone puts on different clothes, right? And you go, that's fine. But sometimes you're just an extra critical eye to be able to look back and go, what just happened here, right? This is probably now about 3 years ago. I worked with a merchant who then went and brought in a designer and the designer put new buttons everywhere, whatever. But the font that they used was one of those cursive fonts. And many of the buttons that would take you to a product from the category page and even from the big category page to the subcategories, those buttons were unreadable. Like you couldn't read. Font was crazy. And the font was beautiful on, you know, at 46 or 60 typeface, right? The font size on the screen when you could read it as a headline was awesome. Bring that down to 9-point font on a button. It just looks like a squiggle. Like you can't read it, right? And so sometimes you're the only pair of eyes that looks at this and goes, can I just ask a question? I know that you were really excited about using this font, but would you consider putting a standard system font that someone can read just so that, you know, like maybe you want to test it? You don't have to be a jerk about, you know, raising your hand, but sometimes the store builder is the only one that can come in and say, listen, I don't have skin in this game. Heads up, shouldn't it be readable, right? The font that you use for your headline isn't necessarily the font you want to use for your button.
Right.
That's good. And you have an eye for that if it's not working, especially on multiple platforms. They're probably not thinking about that when they're setting that up right away.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, just to kind of wrap up here then, first things you need to do as a store builder to kind of get this taken care of?
So it feels like often I tell you the first thing you have to do is make sure you get it instrumented, right? But you won't know if your conversion rate is dropping if you don't have instrumentation in place. And instrumentation can mean a lot of things. Sure, use Google Analytics. Make sure that you're able to check traffic coming in to each of your products, to each of your pages. Make sure that you can know that the traffic hasn't dropped off. Because if traffic drops off, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You cut off the at-bats, you're going to cut off how many singles, doubles, triples, and home runs you hit because you just have less people batting. So first of all, instrument the system to make sure that you see the traffic's coming in and that the traffic hasn't changed, right? On the flip side, what are you doing on your cart as it relates to the analytics, the reporting for the cart, right? I'm a big fan of Glue, which is glew.io, because Glue can also tell me what's happening per segment, right? So you may still get traffic and you may still get conversion, but if your top people aren't buying, or the top or the people that normally buy the most expensive products and now your most expensive products are not selling, that's something you want to know. A tiny anecdote. I worked with a store, we hosted a store who had at one point set all their navigation had embedded query logic in it, right? And what I mean is, if you picked vacuum cleaners, when they sorted, they didn't just go to the vacuum cleaner listing, they sorted it most expensive at the top, right? So it just was a little add-on to the, when you click the link. So you got the most expensive one and it went down from there. Now they still had options on the page to resort it, sort it by different factors, what have you. But their default put the most expensive stuff first. And so lo and behold, right, their premium buyers, their VIPs would click on an item and then see the top one and go, that's the best one, and buy the best one and move on. Someone went in to manipulate the new web design. The web design changed the stuff, which changed the navigation. The navigation just showed up as vacuum cleaners, right? No fancy sorting parameters, which meant that the first item in here was just the earliest item put in the system. And so it wasn't the most expensive. In fact, the most expensive wasn't even on the page. So what happened? Some of these people would buy the most expensive thing on the page, but it wasn't the most expensive thing in the inventory, right? And they didn't do the work to get. So all of a sudden their margins drop and their top products start disappearing from what you see in the record of orders. You go, this is crazy, right? But it was a little mistake that translated to a lot of money over the course of several weeks until someone went in and found it, right? And went, wait a minute, here's something that changed in your code. And they go, oh yeah, we do that. Well, you're not doing it anymore. Let's go back and add it. So that it, and then everything bounces back up. So store builders don't own conversion rate optimization. I'm not trying to suggest that a store builder should become a conversion rate optimization expert, though that would be great. But what I am saying is a store builder does have an ability to go look at in some corners and find the hidden dynamics that could affect conversion rates. And so it's worth getting involved. It's worth trying to help out.
Okay. That's a good perspective. Yeah. All right. Well, Chris, this was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care, Ryan.
Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on what e-commerce stores can do about dropping conversion rates. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.